We are a biodiversity hotspot, one of only 35 around the world. So internationally, really, you know, much of our southwest region is an international crown jewel. So it's a bit like the Louvre Museum. You know, imagine someone going in there with a flamethrower and taking every second painting out. Well, this is essentially what the pathogen is doing.
We're ruining our environmental history in a way.
Yes. And, you know, 300-year-old painting is not quite the same as plants that have taken 20 to 50 million years to evolve. And, you know, and it's not just the plants. We lose the plants, we lose the animals that rely on them. And this, as I said, this is not just in Western Australia. It's in throughout Australia, the Grampians, for example, most of Tasmania, Kangaroo Island, the lofty ranges in South Australia. It's on all continents except in Antarctica.
Is it a costly thing that the state has to address?
There are quite substantial costs involved. The biggest challenge now really is to get people to buy in, you know, with adequate signage, encourage people to wash their boots when they've been four-wheel driving or they've been motorcycle riding or trail biking, to wash their vehicles down before they go to another site, because they could be spreading the pathogen to other disease-free bits of bush, but they could also be spreading it to their home garden and ending up killing their own plants. So that's our biggest challenge, is actually getting people to buy in. But I don't think people are totally aware yet of the implications, so they don't spread the pathogen.
Can you talk us through some of the work that Murdoch is doing at the moment in terms of moving towards further methods of containment and possibly also eradication?
Yes, we've got lots of research projects, and some are basic research and some are much more applied. One of the more interesting ones is that working with mining companies, we now believe that we can eradicate the pathogen, and we've done some trials at Cape Riche and in the Fitzgerald River National Park, where we've actually effectively contained the pathogen and actually eradicated it from site. And by eradication, we can now do that by just keeping areas fallow or plant free for a period of time. The pathogen has to have living hosts. You remove any living host, whether it's a resistant host or a susceptible host, for a period of time, it will die. Once it's died, disappeared from that site, we can then restore, revegetate those sites. People have thought previously, you know, we're going to need to use horrible chemicals. We're going to need to nuke a site, if you like, but we don't have to do that. We can actually get rid of it quite sensitively.
That was Professor Giles Hardy, a leading dieback researcher at Murdoch University. The West Australian Department of Parks and Wildlife works to identify and contain the pathogen around the state. Department Manager of Ecosystem Health, Bob Hagen, says after decades of attempting to limit dieback by creating exclusion zones, an eradication solution would be a blessing. Mr. Hagen says the disease has the potential to destroy both native biodiversity and agricultural crops.
Phytophthora cinnamomei was known originally as a fungus which attacked cinnamon plants in somewhere in the tropics. For example, in agriculture, it's known now to affect avocado quite severely. It affects macadamia nuts. It affects some stone fruit. In the eastern states, it's, you know, there are ag notes and those things around about the impact on commercial crops.
And talk us through the damage that it can do to, you know, our, I guess, local ecosystems if it's affecting native flora in this way.
Yeah, well, what dieback basically does is it takes out species which are proteaceous, which is a large proportion of WA's flora. But it takes those species out by infecting their roots and then eventually killing the plant. What that does is it simplifies the structure of the vegetation. Many of those species are really significant parts of an understory. For example, Banksia grandis has large nectarous flowers and cones, and so they're a significant food source for many animals. So what it does is, as it takes those out, it simplifies the environment, and then those species which rely on, you know, continuous nectar supplies or, you know, heavy seeds for fruit or whatever can go out with it.
And in terms of pests that we have existing here in WA, yep, where does dieback stand?
At the moment, it's the most significant forest disease that we've got. And it also has a wide impact on a number of rare and endangered species, where some of them are larger proportion. Those up to 50% of the threatened and endangered species are actually susceptible. You can see that it's got a very high potential impact if it's uncontrolled spread.